It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Greetings from the West Coast, bitches! I am sorry. Soon as I started that groove, I'm very embarrassed. I just for a second was like, what if we were that kind of podcast? And I was like, ah, but it felt fake. It felt terrible. That's not us. I apologize.
In Bigfoot country again.
Yeah. Haven't seen any big feet yet. It looks like I've run away to the circus. These are in
fact, look like that.
Blinds covering up the amazing view that is out there. Because it is an absolutely amazing view. Oh, no, I fucked up the lighting. All right, hopefully that's not too bad there. But yes, it is really gorgeous out there. I was going to give you a whole tour and everything, and then I was like, hey. So, okay. But it is awesome. And none of you are here. Trish had this whole thing we were talking about, like, we should send, I wanted to send pictures to people, and I was like a massive prick. And she's like, yeah, wish you were here, not. And I was like, no, I just go, don't you wish you were here? And just send them gorgeous scenery and this huge house. Because it's fun because nobody else is here. It's also ridiculous because we're in a giant house, just the two of us. But we don't want to share. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is, I was going to say bi-coastal, but we're still unicoastal. We're usually no coastal. We have a podcast in the world added a coast. Sweet. I'm sponsored by Sea Lions. Yeah, you can't hear that, can you? So, one feature of this location, it's on the hill above Newport, Oregon's Bayfront. And Newport, Oregon's Bayfront is well known for having groups of sea lions that bark loudly at all the time. Every time. 2 a.m, barking. Uh-oh. Also, Trisha's alarm is going off. That means it's officially new. So you do have to, in this house, you have to deal with the fact that you hear sea lions barking always. And it hits against the cliffs and everything, so there's lots of echoing. So you have to get used to that in your brain. But we're good at that. I'm Tony.
I'm William, and this is episode 552.
552. I see you're on your multi-screen display set up again, Captain.
Yeah, it's really helping me out.
Finding murderers before they committed the murder.
Not good. Find some after the fact, though. Better than nothing.
Don't we all? For those of you just joining us, normally we're in the same state. Currently, I'm in Oregon.
Currently, I'm a gas. He's a solid.
Exactly. Usually, we're both plasma. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You all write into it. it all forwards the emails to us if it so chooses. And then we read them, talk about them to a board. Do that for about now. That's the show. Won't you?
You.
All right. So how has your week and a half been? You've had a little bit of adventures. Yes. Involving a certain sucking chest wound.
To vacuum seal my wound. I'm Tupperware boy now. All my freshness is sealed in. Yep. All my freshness is sealed in. I don't know what it's doing exactly, but there's a little machine right here that I had to carry around with me.
The moment you told me about it, it made perfect sense, but it also absolutely feels like a missing scene from Soylent Green or something. Like,
yeah, it's a little weird. Like I say, I have to carry this machine around everywhere I go.
So it's not airtight. They actually have a thing that keeps it vacuum sealed.
Yep.
I was thinking like those Tegaderm things like I got on my burn. But no, this is way more proactive.
Carry this thing. So, and three times a week, someone comes and like switches everything out and all that stuff. So
pull starts it.
Yeah. I don't know how long this is going to go on. I mean, it's a, you know, the wound wasn't healing is the problem. So this is supposed to speed the process up. But when I heard the nurse talking about it, when she was here, she talked about, she was using examples. Well, okay. How did it go? I asked her, who decides when I'm done, right? Like, how's this going to work? Is she going to figure out after a while and then tell the doctor, hey, this is finished? Or, you know, could I conceivably be done for a whole week, but I'll still have to keep doing it because I haven't, my doctor's appointment hasn't happened yet, kind of thing like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she said, no, she can. Well, it's actually going to kind of work that way because she can notice that it's probably ready or whatever, and she can forward on her opinion. But, you know, unless I have a doctor's appointment the next day or, you know, within a few days, I might still be doing it for a week, even when I don't need kind of do it. But anyhow, she was saying what kinds of things she might report to the doctor to indicate that she thinks it's done. And one of the examples she used was, well, it's been 3 weeks since such and such. And I'm thinking to myself, 3 weeks? You know, that example is 3 weeks since a certain thing and probably a few weeks before that. So she's making it sound like this is a 5-6 week thing. I was under the impression it would be like a 1 or 2 week thing. So I have no idea. I've had it since Monday. So I have no idea how long I'm going to have to deal with it. I already don't like it, of course.
I mean, you need to look on this positively. I assumed when you said who decides when I'm done, she'd say, oh, honey, it's just a part of you now. Like it's going to grow over and it'll just be a part of you. You'll hardly notice it after a while. Well, but, hopefully it's fewer weeks. I mean, scrunch up your chest a lot to hold those two pieces together. That'll probably make it go faster.
Well, I think I also am getting sort of a vague sense, and this is definitely what Abby thinks, a vague sense that the scar, when it's all over, is going to be a lot, significantly worse than it should have been.
Oh.
Like when it's healed up, it'll be fine, but it won't be as nice and neat as it was supposed to be. So
I mean, and I feel like Abby is literally the only person who should have an opinion about that. Who else is going to see it ever?
To see it really.
Exactly.
So.
So say, well, my love, I will get a cover-up tattoo that you get to design because you're the only person who's going to see this.
She doesn't care what it looks like herself. She just thinks that it's the principle of the thing, right? It's like,
well, I'm telling you though, you've got next birthday covered if you go with this. Like, we're going to go down to the tattoo place and you're going to work with the sketch artist. I won't even know what it is.
Yeah, so hopefully it won't be too long, because what I, you know, I'm going to have restrictions on things probably for several more weeks, but I could, sooner than later, I could be at a point where I can like sleep in my bed. I can take a normal shower where I don't have to work around whatever's going on here. You know, that's a big milestone for me, where my sleep situation and my hygiene situation is like back to what it was before. That's what I want. And we're not there yet. And I don't like it. So I didn't get very much sleep last night, so I'm pretty tired.
Nobody's been complaining about the smell of the podcast, so you're not too bad yet. I also didn't sleep great last night.
I'm not shaving.
Oh, really?
Because I'm concerned about nicks and things. Wow. But we bought a surgical clippers, so I can just run them down my face. And it's good enough for now. And maybe I'll do that permanent. I don't know, because it's not like a regular shaver, where I don't know if you've used electric shavers before, but they burn me.
I've tried. Yeah, they me too.
Terrible.
Even the real nice ones, I can't handle at all.
Straight razor nicks me, but I'd rather deal with that than that burn that's all over my face and it lasts a long time. But this doesn't burn. It doesn't get very close either, but it, you know, who cares? You know, I mean, as long as short as my beard is right now, that's probably as good as it ever needs to be. So I could probably shave with that thing forever.
Then we call you Beefy Peach Fuzz.
Yeah, and school started, which has been challenging, because also this week I've had a lot of appointments, like a ton of them. Like, I wasn't able to do anything on Monday for school. And today, there was an assignment due today that I didn't start until this morning, which made me nervous. Even though there was no reason I couldn't get it done or whatever, I like to have it done earlier. So I've been kind of on edge all week because of school, but it's fine now. Everything's fine. It's just, just my life right now. Trying to recover and trying to go to school at the same time is stressful. But what have you been doing out there? Probably fun things, right?
Very little. And I highly recommend it.
The big house.
It's been great. Well, and we visited my family and all that. And that was fun.
Right, sure. Right.
We didn't make it around the mountain to see the foliage, because fairly along on our trip, someone got very car sick. Bad enough that we were like, we got to go home. So that was a shame, but that still ended up not being too bad of a day. Yeah, I've been doing a lot, been taking a lot of naps. I've already told you the story, but I think the story is hilarious. So we're in state with legal marijuana, and I have been making use of it. And one night I probably had a little too much, and I went to bed early, and I kept having thoughts about the sequel to Odd Wings. And normally I let those go because I'm high and they often make no sense in the morning. But every once in a while they sort of unlock something, and I couldn't get to sleep for these ideas that I got up and I wrote them all down. And in the morning they were spelled very poorly, but they made sense. And I'm pretty sure I know the whole outline for the next Odd Wings book and the arc for the whole series based on this now. So I'm very excited. So this is a positive drug message. Make sure you're old enough that your brain is fully formed, which I think they say is like mid-20s, and then go on vacation and write the rest of your series. Thanks to drugs. We watched a couple movies. They are not they were not good for the most part. We're doing Squid Game. Have we talked about Squid Game? Oh my God, have you watched Squid Game?
Yeah, interested in watching it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. And then Trish, the internet wouldn't stop talking about it. And so we went for it. It's different. I think I'm going to be glad I watched it overall, but it's two very different shows. It's a freaky, faceless rich people controlling the world through their petty games and a bunch of poor people dying. Horror story mixed with pretty heartfelt and sometimes tear-jerking Korean drama. and a real sort of attack on the concept of capitalism, which I'm totally here for. But the two for me don't mesh well. Like, I can be in one state of mind or I can be in the other, but it goes back and forth in weird ways. And so that can be a little jarring, but I'd say overall I'm enjoying it. It's very weird though.
Watching Ghosts. Have you heard of that? BBC's Ghosts. There's been three seasons.
Yes. If you can say on the air, how did you get a hold of it?
HBO Max.
HBO Max has the British version of Ghosts?
Sure.
Fuck me. I thought I was going to have to do some questionable skirting of copyright laws to pull this off. I've wanted to see this for a while, and I especially want to see it now because they are doing an American remake. And before that becomes too much of a thing, I want to see the original. Charlotte Ritchie, who is one of the main characters, I think she's the main character on that, was just in series 11 of Taskmaster, and I had not known her before then, and I fell in love with her. And then I saw a trailer for one of the seasons of Ghosts, and I was like, this looks awesome.
You hadn't seen her in, I thought Trish watched Call the Midwife or whatever. She was in that.
Yeah, but I didn't watch that.
Oh.
Also, I think Trish dropped out of Call the Midwife a while back. But yeah, so I was very excited to see that show. It's on HBO Max. Oh, thank you. That's good stuff.
I think it's pretty good. Oh, and you know what I never mentioned, we caught up on Mythic Quest a little while back.
The Kevin Sorbo as Gandalf ones?
Mythic Quest, isn't it on Apple Plus? It's about a game developing.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of the Mythica fantasy films, of which there are five.
Mythic Quest.
Banquet for Ravens. Yeah, it was the first season. I only watched one episode ever. Based on things I have seen, I think I need to go back and do it again. But the pilot didn't get me.
Oh well, I mean, it's not anything to crow about. I mean, the pilot didn't grab us either because it's very cliche and very. It's like, wasn't this already done? Alicia Day do this with the Guild or whatever. I mean, it feels really
right. Yeah.
Like it's already been done. And also when she did it, it was timely. And now it feels like, you know, this was funny 10 years ago, but it does get better. And F. Murray Abraham's character says he's from Clear Lake, Iowa, which is hilarious because both sides of Abby's family, like her mom and dad are from there. And both of their families go back in Clear Lake. So it's a big deal when she hears anything about Clear Lake on
you
television.
You heard it here first. F. Murray Abraham is William's wife's granddad, apparently. Or sorry, is playing William's wife's granddad.
Wait, it is F. Murray Abraham, right?
I think yeah, he was in the pilot too. Yeah.
But a lot of the cliches, they never get over them. Like you always know what's going to happen because, you know, he's an old man working for a technology company. So you can about guess all the stuff that's going to happen to his character. Yeah. Still though, the lot, you know, it's what, it's that phenomena that you've talked about where the longer a show goes on, the more fleshed out a characters and relationships tend to get. And so even if some parts of it remain kind of dumb, you kind of, you're kind of interested.
You kind of care. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of care.
The big push I've heard is that the two main characters do a really good, purely platonic heteronormative relationship. And
it's not,
I feel like that's something that's lacking in most TV these days. And I love it when I hear of it.
That's probably accurate. It's not an entirely functional relationship, but it's not a will they, won't they kind of thing.
Or yeah. Like
yeah. And they're both straight too. So it's not, you know, because one of them is gay or something.
Yeah.
Ashley Burke is in it and she's, I don't think she's very well utilized in it, but she ends up writing or directing one of the episodes. And I think that episode was pretty good. So if anyone's a fan of hers, we kind of are. It's kind of fun to see her do other things, but I mean, it's okay. I thought you were watching it. That's why I was going to talk about it.
No. Ted Lasso season 2 is apparently done, so I will be binging that pretty soon. We finally saw Black Widow because it's no longer on the plus of Disney Plus.
We did too.
Thoughts?
I'm kind of a Florence Pugh fan. I just think she's great in everything. So I enjoyed it for that reason alone. Otherwise, it was fine. It had good action set pieces and stuff. But I mean, I mostly just liked watching her. I thought she was great.
She was the most fun character in the whole thing. And supposedly, and this is idle speculation, but the idea is Scarlett Johansson wants out and is also dead. So Florence Pugh's character is going to be the new Black Widow because canonically that is a thing that happens.
Yeah, right.
And that would be fun. I could not. This movie was so tone deaf in terms of the dark subject matter and the goofy MCU vibe. Like, they did not mesh well. And I had to just sort of be like, okay, whatever. Like I couldn't even get into the story because I'm like, the story is going to jerk me around so bad. It was fine. It's not my least favorite MCU movie, but it's probably in my bottom five.
It definitely felt like too little too late for her character. It's like she should have had a movie ages ago, and the plot should have been, I mean, even the plot and the setup was, you know what's going to happen to this person, so there's hardly any stake, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't matter, and really.
I don't know who to put this at the feet of. It could be a checked out movie star. It could be poor writing choices. I don't know. I was super unimpressed with Black Widow's performance in Black Widow. It felt very phoned in. And I don't know if it was a phoned in performance or phoned in writing, but it felt very phoned in.
I mean, it was fine. It was an okay way to spend, you know, if you're going to watch a movie some evening, it, you know, and you don't want to have to pay that much attention to it.
Yeah.
It's perfectly entertaining. It's fine.
I'm also toying with this idea now that David Harbour may not be the actor any of us, including him, want him to be. I love him. He's the sweetest guy. He doesn't, the sort of monster with a heart of gold that he keeps trying to go for might not work for him. Because the Red Guardian fell flat for me in the same way that his Hellboy fell flat for me. Like, I get why you'd want to put him in that kind of role. I feel like it should have worked, but it just doesn't. And actually, Sheriff Hopper's a little along those lines too. Yeah, so that was a little disappointing. And wasted Rachel Weisz. I mean, she's there. She did a perfectly good job, but she didn't need to be there. And Ray Winston with no Eastern European accent, basically. That's such a weird villain. It was such a, like, I know this was years in the making. So many aspects felt very last minute. And I don't know what that is. Don't watch the second Thor movie. Watch this instead. Like, it's not the worst MCU movie, but it's hanging out near Ant-Man. I mean,
hanging out near Ant-Man.
That's the best I can say. I can. Yeah. All right, should we question some?
Wait, I have a question. William, did you see Muppet Haunted Mansion?
Oh, did you see the Muppet Haunted Mansion movie?
Yes, I did.
Yes, he did. Did you like it?
I did like it.
He did like it. Trish watched it. I was in and out of the room and possibly high. It didn't do a lot for me, but
I mean, it didn't
do a lot for Trish, but she says, like, this isn't for me.
I like the Haunted Mansion, as I've probably said, and I used to at least like the Muppets. So this seemed like maybe this will be a good combination. And the fact of the matter is there were a lot of moments in it that were like, felt kind of like Jim Henson's old shtick. And I really liked that.
I mean, there were some good lines.
It's definitely geared. I mean, it's geared more to kids, but I think most adults will enjoy it while they're watching it with their kids. If you're watching it without kids, it can be a little bit, maybe not. But since I felt a lot of nostalgia for a lot of the aspects of it, both in terms of the ride, which they mostly covered the whole ride.
That was what got me. Because I never saw the Eddie Murphy one, but I'm like, they are going through the ride of Haunted Mansion. This isn't just, it's Muppets and we make it a haunted place. Like, no, this is the fucking ride. I've been there a few years ago. I remember this.
Yeah, they really went through the ride. And like I said, a lot of the gags were pretty, pretty good. I thought pretty, they really made me think of the Henson era. And I thought, this is okay. I don't know if I'll probably never watch it again, but you know, I thought it was good. I put my seal of approval on it, mostly for a Muppet.
I did like,
show.
Don't worry, we're not going to explain every joke. That was nice. I appreciated that one a lot.
The music worked particularly well. I'll say that. I didn't think the songs were very catchy or that clever. That was a little disappointing. I don't know who did their music, but it was medium. Some of the gags were pretty good.
As a one-time strong Pepe convert, mostly just because I'm a sucker for any random foreign accent, we need to chill with Pepe. Pepe's become like the Muppets POV, and he's a terrible Muppets POV. Like, he's a bad man. Sorry, a bad King Prong. And it's weird that he's our person that we experience everything through.
I'm not quite sure how to take... I mean, I feel ambiguous about the character because sometimes I'm thinking, is this racist what they're doing here? And I can't really tell. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I don't really. It's the accent is a bit racist. I don't.
It feels vaguely
tie anything else to the stereotype to make it overtly racist against someone else, but
it seems vaguely Speedy Gonzales, you know. It's like, I think Speedy Gonzales is generally not considered okay. No,
but to be fair, again, Speedy Gonzales is a whole package. Pepe is an accent of
that's true.
Indeterminate, it to me at least, Hispanic origin. There is a mocking quality that shows up in a lot of places. And in fact, Kim's Convenience had this, of someone repeatedly mispronouncing English slightly, and that becomes like their catchphrase almost. That is disconcerting. It falls into that very narrow band of like shit I think is funny, but I also don't think I should think it's funny. It's an extremely narrow band. But yeah, in general, foreign accents as comedy are in there for me, and I hate myself. But I do think Pepe doesn't bring a lot to the table. Pepe feels like when the sitcom had a baby. Oh, actually, Pepe, I'll just fucking say it. Pepe feels like Elmo. Mm. I heard through the soundproofing headphones a noise from my wife, and her eyes were real wide. So I know she had strong feelings about my Pepe Elmo parallel. I cannot for certain know if they were good or bad, but they were strong. let's do things.
Okay.
Emails. I have a friend who every time she hears email, she thinks of when you used to click on that on the Homestar Runner page, and he'd say, email. All right, our first question is from Beth. Mrs. Beth, oh, who is worked so hard to get her emails so short, and now that she has been freed, she does not understand. She goes only to where the fence posts were and no further. She cannot see. The chain link has gone, and she is free now. Anyway, who is your favorite celebrity spokesperson / product pairing? Who do you feel has been miscast?
Usually like it when I can recognize a celebrity voice for an ad, right? You don't see them, you don't hear their name, but you know who it is.
I'm fairly good at that.
I kind of like that. Whenever that happens, it doesn't have to be a certain person. But when I know who it is, or I really strongly suspect I know, and I look it up and yeah, that's that person, I always like that. I always think that's fun. I just think it's cool that some of them are big names too, but they're not, you know, they're not putting their face or name out there. They're just their voice, and it's really neat.
Trish is famously bad at this. And so when we watched the trailer for the new Borderlands spinoff game of Tiny Tina's Wonderland, I think I sent you that trailer. That thing looked awesome. First person shooter D&D campaign. It's a Borderlands spinoff. It's really cool. And in that, near the end, she's like, I need to look this up. Is that Wanda Sykes? And I'm just like, it's definitely not Wanda Sykes. It didn't sound like Wanda Sykes. They said three words. It's just a random robot. It's clearly an established part of Borderlands, and I would know if Wanda Sykes was doing a lot of voices in Borderlands. It's not. And she couldn't find anything. Days went on. Something came up where it was like Wanda Sykes was going to be in the new, and I'm like, what? And I went to IMDb. Absolutely 100% was Wanda Sykes. So every time in the future, if she can't tell, she's going to be able to go back to that well. I remember that time? It was Wanda Sykes. And I think that's fair. Dennis Quaid is on a push right now to shill for things. And I say this in the various, very broadest sense. I think he actually does testimonials for some weird right-wing platforms. I don't know. He also has been making movies where there's just a dog in them and he just has to be there and the dog runs up. I think he's made a couple of those. But there is a commercial for some sort of car insurance that very explicitly says in it, I'm Dennis Quaid. I'm the biggest celebrity they could afford. My presence here is to give you more of a sense of trust in this company. And just go on like that. He just narrates the whole thing. He's like, now we're going to show you some streets in a small town. Doesn't that make you feel good? And I did really like that up front.
Interestingly, now that I'm thinking about it, just about any ad where I do see a celebrity and it's clear that their celebrity is supposed to be the thing, I almost never like that. I mean, if it's funny or whatever, or if like what you're talking about, if they're kind of making fun of itself, sure, I can get into that. But
and if they can sell me on the idea that they personally are really into it, and that's very hard to do, and there's not really any point, it's not worth the performance for them, I don't think. But if they can convince me like this is like a passion project of theirs or something, then I might be into it. But yeah, overall, it's like, yeah, I am here because I really liked the check they wrote out to me.
Like Samuel L. Jackson does those credit card things.
Yes. That was a weird choice. I do like the most recent one where he helps the guy buying figures, minifigures.
Yeah.
And it turns out they're all action figures of him. And I especially like the guy with his figure saying, "What's in your wallet?" I don't say it like that.
Capital One, right?
Yes. Not sponsored, not affiliated. In case you guys thought we jumped on that.
I mean, celebrities have been doing ads since ads started, like on television, right? Because they would put ads like in, like the, they would almost like an ad would be still in the, like the, if it was Ozzy and Harriet, not Ozzy and Harriet, that's probably not a good example, but the, if the characters were going to advertise for Folgers coffee or something, they'd still be in the house. They'd still be in character, you know, that kind of thing happened a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a thing. Celebrity endorsements. That's just a long standing thing, but I don't really feel one way or the other about it. I just like guessing people's voices when I can't see them.
I'm more fascinated by the people who do commercials, but are also in not commercials. Because there's plenty of people that you're like, they started off doing commercials and then they got into acting in movies and TV. But there are ones who ride that line. Prime examples of this. Will Smith in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The actress who played his mother. I've seen her in many things. She is quite good. I also frequently see her in commercials, like just as a random person. Character actor Larry Cedar, who I've talked about before I remembered what his name was, who was on Square One TV for a long time and has been on all sorts of things. He recently was in the movie Lucky as the police inspector or whatever. I remember seeing him as an operator, I think on a Discover card commercial. The guy on the TV show The Middle, who is another one of the salespeople besides our main character, also was on the Progressive commercials for many years as being one of the two rival insurance salesmen that were always trying to mess Flo up. And was in choir with my brother back in college. He's everywhere. I find those interesting. William clearly does not, because he's in what I've seen him in for a lot of this podcast, which is Something Smells Strange. Which some people will tell you is the trick to thoughtful, to being thoughtful when you're acting. I think it's a bit from Friends called Smell the Fart Acting. All right. Let's do the next one. We clearly got so much out of that one.
So, Dave Avid.
I've heard of that guy.
He wants to know, what character would you play in the movie Ouija Shark? Is that?
Again, I feel like there are so many layers to this that could have been included.
Since it doesn't have to fit on a card.
All right. So, Dave of Id is positing that there is a movie out there called Ouija Shark.
Yeah.
I have some experience in the realm of terrible horror films. I can't swear to it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it's safe for us to assume that is the name of a real movie and not something David invented. It is presumably either a movie about some trespassing teens who on a dare use a Ouija board and accidentally summon the ghost of a shark, or less likely, more interesting in my opinion, some trespassing teens near the water play around with a Ouija board on a dare and summon a terrible spirit, and before they can use the Ouija board to dismiss the spirit, the Ouija board is eaten by a shark. And so they have to somehow get into the shark and banish the evil spirit before more murders happen.
Pretty sure it's the first one, yeah.
I think it is too, but the second sounds better, does it not? I feel like the second sounds better. Not necessarily the way I said it, but you know, I would rather watch that movie.
Okay.
How was the shark spelling things on the Ouija board? Like, it's not where you're like, if you have a Ouija board to summon a shark, all you can do is like, spirits, we want to talk to you. Is someone there? Boom, shark. Yes, because the shark doesn't know to like move the thing to different. No, boom. Hi, I'm a ghost shark. I'm going to eat you. Like, there's no. Ouija boards involve at least a little conversation. You can't converse with the ghost shark.
They should have had the spirit possess the shark.
There we go. Or like summon a trained ghost shark. So you mean like jump through the hoop once for yes. Jump through the hoop. I don't know how sharks work. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, what character would we be? I mean, it depends on how good my agent is in the circumstance.
I mean, it's possible that we'd be a cameo of our just playing ourselves, like walking on the beach.
Yeah.
And we're having a conversation, and the punchline is that we both get eaten by the Ouija shark.
There we go.
That would be our cameo, and that's probably what would happen.
So, oh, shit. This is good. I had several answers, but I like this better. I should be carrying a magic eight ball, and that's part of the joke.
Okay, good. I like it.
Like, will we be eaten by the shark? And it's like, all signs point to yes. And then CG just comes on. Like, see, I had versions where I was the peer pressuring kid that got them all to do the
thing.
And then, of course, I was the shark. But I really like yours. I like it. Again, we're the cinematic version of the Morning Zoo radio program.
Yeah.
And just eating right away. We're the bulk and skull of Ouija Shark.
In the credits, it's, you know, Tony Parsons, Wainwright, himself. So we wouldn't even have a character. We'd just be playing ourselves.
Lin-Manuel Miranda as the voice of the shark. Didn't sing. Didn't really say words, but they got him. That was most of the marketing materials were about that. I believe he said, "I am Groot, can suck it." So now,
yeah, I think that's what
Miranda and Vin Diesel are beefing.
So you've never heard of this Ouija shark thing?
I mean, I might have. There's a lot of Ouijas, and there's a lot of sharks. Oh. There have definitely been ghost sharks.
There have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was one where there was like a ghost of a shark in somebody's swimming pool. And that was, but then it like went through the pipe. So like, I think it ate somebody in the bathtub and stuff because it's a ghost shark. So it could go ghost places. Yeah, no, it's not a good genre, but I feel like it's out there. The one I really want to see, and I keep not getting around to it, but it's on Amazon Prime. Velocipastor. I mean, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, on wow. Amazon for free. Yeah, it's, I never even have to like go into premise. It's exactly what you think it is. It's, and apparently it's gloriously ridiculous.
Oh. These are like the country music songs of films, right? Like there's a lot of country music songs where someone comes up with something they think is a really clever hook. Like I can't even come up with one, but the whole song seems to be built around that hook. And you're like, the hook's not that good. And all the things you built around it still aren't that good. But someone came up with Velocipastor as, oh, that sounds funny. And then thought that you could spin that into something, which of course you can't, but it's like they, I said, country it's, music of films.
I believe it is. It is a priest who was bitten by essentially a were dinosaur and can transform and goes and like fights crime.
Oh, fights crime.
As a dinosaur / priest. I think I still haven't watched it. But it came highly recommended.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Well, as a terrible movie.
Oh, but like
sure. Entertaining as fuck, apparently.
I haven't said anything about Midnight Mass. Did you ever finish it? Or?
Yeah, you and I talked about it a whole bunch.
You hadn't finished it.
No, I thought you and I had talked about it. Had we not finished it the last time we watched?
Quite certain the last time you and I talked about it, you hadn't finished.
So, okay. But we'd gotten past episode 3.
Well,
which was the whole not reason.
Not in our discussion. We don't, all that's right. Only we talked about so, the first 3 episodes.
No, first 2. Because we had only watched 2 and I wasn't that into it. And you then, were like, oh, maybe these people relate to me more because I am from rural.
I still
I'm sure that. It is just that. Whereas what you could have said is, watch episode 3. Just, you'll be fine.
You way of knowing that episode 3 would.
Absolutely. I'm telling all of you, if you want to watch Midnight Mass, get through episode 3. If it's not doing it for you, bail hard. Because 3 brings it. 3 takes the story in its absolutely most interesting direction. 3 also has some just incredible scenes that made me care about characters that I didn't give a shit about before. It gets worse. It starts off, the show starts off very slow. It gets really cool in the middle and then it kind of fumbles the landing, in my opinion. It has moments. Overall, I think the show is worth seeing. I was entertained, I was involved, and mostly, it has sparked a lot of thought and conversation between Trish and I, which is usually a good sign. It got dark where you are. Did you forget to pay the power bill?
The blinds are open, so this is a lot of sunlight coming in. And of course, it changes. It gets brighter and dimmer.
I forget you're in a different time zone. It's probably midnight there. But overall, I did like it. Observations I had about this. The character of Bev was very difficult for me. In that, I mean, you're supposed to hate her, but she sort of didn't have a story in a weird way, that none of the other characters were like that. And I was hashing over this for a long time, and then I was discussing it with somebody, and they said, Bev's a plot device, not a character.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, that seems fair then. I still feel like that's a disappointment. I feel like you could have done a character there. Also, this is a show that he apparently worked on for years and started off as a novel, and then it was going to be a movie, and then eventually became this. I think it would have been better served as a play, as a stage play. Because fairly early on, I got to a point where I just knew, based on the music and the way the camera was moving, somebody is about to be center focused and give a 3 to 4 minute speech about their beliefs.
Yeah.
Because that happens maybe 20 times in the 7-episode series. They are often quite good monologues. I myself enjoyed most of them. Not all of them. Most of them. They are a little disconcerting up against shit actually happening and like action and moving from place to place. A situation in which we were in a more confined locale and just heard about the weird shit that was happening other places while we gave our monologues, I feel wouldn't have had that dissonance that I sometimes got from this. Hamish Linklater is amazing. A lot of good performances in this. Hamish Linklater is amazing. The woman who played Aaron, I feel, was severely underutilized. I don't think they did super well with her character, honestly. But the whole thing is very thought-provoking. There are a lot of things I like that they did. There are a lot of things I wish they did. But there are very few things I don't care about. So, I mean, that says something right there. So, I think it's a good one to watch. Have you now seen it 3 times?
Just the twice.
We watched... What did we watch last night?
The Room.
Oh, yeah. We watched a movie called The Room. But it's not that movie. Or that movie. It's a different movie called The Room. It was not good. It's a husband and wife buy a fixer-upper house and they find the secret room in it. And when you go in the room, it'll give you anything you ask for. And hijinks ensue. And it gets kind of dark. And wasn't that great. So y'all can skip that. I thought we watched a different movie, but we watched Black Widow. We're doing Squid Game. Yeah, I think that's about it. I want to get back on vacation. All this work is killing me.
You can see that.
Next week I'll be back home. So grumpy. William will update us on his new career as a vacuum salesman, if I was listening correctly.
Tupperware parties. I'm going to be doing Tupperware parties.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, my heart is perfectly fresh.
Yeah. Freshness is locked in.
Well, I forgot several other titles, so Tupperware parties might be the name of this one, so congratulations.
Yay.
Was either that or A Streetcar Named These Nuts. I sent you that YouTube. Never commented on it. You're a disappointment to me and your parents.
Okay.
That got me. Sorry. I love you all. We'll see you next week. I couldn't even be here.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.